51 degrees, quarter to six. It's a Monday morning, 27th of June. It's the last Monday of the best month of the year. I don't know. Jason Cans may take issue with that. Good morning.
I've heard it's in, probably in the top two, at
least. Right. Yeah, I guess on Saturday we did mark 6 months until Christmas, June 25th, which means 4 months till your birthday.
That's true. Mm-hmm. 4 months. Two-thirds of the way through the year.
So,
because it starts on October 25.
Yeah. You're back from Minneapolis and the Brainy convention. You're a lot smarter as a result then, or what?
Well, I don't know if I'm a lot smarter. I went to the American Academy of Clinical Neuropsychology meeting, which was held in Minneapolis last week. And I was there through Saturday and just kind of a... It was good to get back. It was. I told a friend of mine that I felt socially rusty, and you know, it was interesting because I saw people that I haven't seen for a number of years, and sometimes it would think, "Oh, that person feels familiar to me," but I cannot remember their names. I was able to connect with a couple of former colleagues of mine, and that was probably the highlight for me of the conference, just being able to visit with some folks. And so it was good. Mm-hmm. I think I learned some things. At least I hope I did. It would probably be a waste of resources if I hadn't learned anything. So,
Well, you had mentioned, because of the introvert-extrovert thing, you thought you used to be an extrovert, now maybe an introvert. I've got in front of me the Please Understand Me, Volume 2, Temperament, Character, Intelligence from David Kiersey. And I've long wanted to do this. I've thought about giving somebody on air the quiz, and I thought, why not you? Why not you as the guinea pig, the subject?
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I could try to answer along, but I pretty much register as an ENFP. Now, in recent days, it's, you know, in past times, you know, Myers-Briggs got more attention, it seems. I think it's still really good. But more often, it seems like lately we went through a period of hearing a lot about enneagrams, right?
Yeah, right, for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm also interested in kind of how those overlap. And so,
Do you have any idea what your Myers-Briggs, have you ever got it?
I do, yeah. Okay. It's actually changed over the years, which is interesting to me, so...
All right, well, I want to give it to you again. So, anyhow, we'll unfold it and then still try to get to scripture here this morning like usual. But the first one sounds a little dated, but here we go. When the phone rings, do you A, hurry to get it first, or B, hope someone else will answer?
B, hope someone else will answer.
All right, no hesitation. All right, are you more A, observant than introspective, or B, introspective than observant?
More observant than, that's a hard one. I would say more introspective than observant.
Mm-hmm. And third and finally, is it worse to have your head in the clouds or be in a rut?
Worse to be in a rut.
All right. You got three B's there, so you're on some track. All right. We'll unpack it. We'll unpack it day by day, drip by drip, and see where we get.
Sure.
All right. Sermon on the Mount, working through Matthew chapter 5. Are we up to verse 29?
27, I
Okay, 27.
This morning.
Boy, the short-term memory just starts to go when you turn 58. Yeah. Let me just warn you, okay? All right.
Yeah. So 27 and 28 say, "You have heard the commandment that says you must not commit adultery, but I say anyone who even looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart."
Okay, and so you unpack in Letters to the Beloved, Matthew 5, 27 and 28 this way in your devotional commentary. You say, "The people knew that the law condemned adultery, yet my son once again turned the command inward. Infidelity starts long before a person goes to bed with a lover. Pondering unholy sexual desires plants adulterous seeds." So you've heard the scripture, you've heard what you wrote when you wrote this, so now what about it?
Yeah, you know, so again, I think this is one of those where it was short and could have been expanded considerably. But for me, it's that idea, and I think Jesus gets at this with the Sermon on the Mount, is that turn inward is we pay attention to our actions, but we also need to pay attention to our heart and what's stirring there, because they're definitely connected with one another. And I think as we become integrated people, our insides and our outsides begin to match better.
Would you love the chance to team up with Andrew Peterson?
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's going to follow us with Is He Worthy, and I'll explain that. But in terms of not only his music, but his writing, if you had a chance to encourage people to read some of what he's written in book form, what would you tell them?
You know, I generally tell people to read The Wingfeather Saga, which is a four-book series of young adult books that he wrote. It's a great, fun, fantasy book. Though, honestly, anything that he's written is really, really good and encouraging.
Top-notch guy, yeah. All right.
You bet.
All right. Well, it turns out yesterday I heard Tim Hogan at Valley Brook Church preach on Revelation 5, and after the sermon, singing Is He Worthy, which is Revelation 5. So how cool is that, huh?
Great song. You bet.
And this is Andrew Peterson, who wrote the song, WWIB. Thanks, Jason. Talk to you tomorrow.
Founder of a faith-based combat trauma program, the Mighty Oaks Foundation, and former Special Ops and Recon Marine Chad Robichaud struggled with PTSD battles of his own. When he came home, even after coming to salvation through Jesus Christ, he was still fighting. But now he fights wearing the spiritual armor of God, and that gives him an unfair advantage. During the Father's Day month of June, for a suggested gift of $45 or more to the ministry, get this great read for Dad, An Unfair Advantage, Victory in the Midst of Battle by Chad Robichaud. Write, call, go online, or stop by for a visit.
As the pastor of the Vineyard Church in Detroit, Michigan, Drew Fralick has an unfair advantage. He was a stand-up comic before he was a pastor, so his unfair advantage of being able to help make his congregation laugh. And he's on the line. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Mark. That was a great segue. I love that. Fantastic.
You learn in radio, if it's in your head, you just go. And sometimes it gets you in trouble.
You are hot out the gate. I love it.
So I promoted, I said, what did Drew have at his house on Saturday night that few pastors, if any, did around the country? What was it?
Well, first of all, I want to know if people called in and guessed, but it was, we do this thing, we do it several times a year. It's called Ha Ha House Party. And it started about 3 years ago. Basically, my wife and I have been doing comedy for over 10 years.
Both do comedy?
Oh, yeah. I mean, she does sketch comedy. She won't touch stand-up with a 10-foot pole after watching me, but, you know. So we moved back to the United States about 4 years ago. And we were like, we want to keep doing comedy. But, you know, we have kids and stuff, and it's hard to go out at night. And so we built a comedy club in our basement.
That's crazy.
When we were living in the suburbs of Detroit. So we had these comics coming in from L.A. and New York and here in Detroit.
Wow.
And they would do shows in our basement. Now, the club was like, it was like a legit club. You know, we painted the walls black. It had a stage. It had a sound system. And it became this thing, you know, and people were like, oh, this is amazing. So much fun.
Did the comics, much like a musician, likes a small, I mean, what did they find inviting about it?
Appealing? They loved it because it was this very kind of quirky, kind of hip underground show.
Yeah. Right.
And it was really cool, too, because it allowed us to stay in touch with all of our friends from Shanghai. Many of them are in New York now doing comedy full time.
Yeah.
And so it allowed us to kind of maintain those relationships and still have fun. So we did that on Saturday. We had a guy out from New York, my friend Ramon, who I met in Shanghai. Josiah Jones, who you know, who has showed up on the show here several times and also slept in more times than showing up. He hosted.
The more famous he gets, the more that becomes a big deal.
We're going to call him Sleepy Josiah, right? So we had that on Saturday. It was great. You know, we do it. It's a free event for the community. People come out. I mean, people had a great time. So it was a lot of fun.
You've moved from the suburbs into Detroit. So, like, you had to prepare this all again and create club number two or what?
Yeah, this is like club number three, basically. But, you know, COVID threw everything into disrepair.
Right.
But, we've got kind of a new home base here in Detroit. We had like 70 people there on Saturday. It was a nice crowd. you know, mixed crowd. It's very interesting. It's like probably 50% black, 50% white, and just a good kind of diverse representation of the city.
Yeah.
So it's a super fun event for the community, and people have a great time. It's fun, and it's a nice tune-up for Sunday morning sermon. You know what I mean?
And something that's completely different than just about any pastor in the country is doing on a Saturday night, having a ha-ha house party with stand-up comics around the country.
That's right.
That's why we love having you here on Mondays, Drew, and that's fantastic. We got to get you and Josiah here to the Chippewa Valley. That would be fun. So
yeah, when are we going to get booked out there?
We got to just do it. We got to just do it. All right.
Let's do it.
Thank you, DrewFralick.com. Learn more, the comic pastor here on WWIB. All right, weekend recap here on a Monday, the WIB Wake Up Show on WWIB. Highlighting for me, it's interesting. On Saturday, I would say, Caleb, the most noteworthy thing was trimming bushes. We've got some bushes to the left of our driveway. And I think my wife had taken it upon herself. We've lived in this house since we came back in 2018, so almost 4 years. I think it's the first time I've trimmed them. Now, she says they need to be trimmed twice a year, and she's kind of taken it upon herself. She's a very hard worker. She likes to work in her garden and flowers and, you know, all the different things. But slow character growth development on my part, where I finally, like, without being asked by her, it was not on a honey-do list, but they just needed to be trimmed. So,
sure.
There we go.
Well done.
Thank you. And then also, we went fishing yesterday. So, on Peggy's aunt and uncle on north a bit in the Siren area. They've got a private, wonderful cabin on a private lake. And so did some fishing. Peggy and I and Michael headed up there and joined with her parents and a couple of nephews, her brother Doug and Tanya's boys, and had a good time.
Very good. Well, our Saturday was very full from the get-go. Thank you first to Scotty and Jack for the invite to your graduation party. So a dual graduation party, a lot of fun. And this was a 9 to noon graduation party. I think we got there about 10. So they served breakfast food. We're talking scrambled eggs, biscuits and gravy, orange juice, chocolate milk. Just really, really cool because I love breakfast food. And honestly, I normally don't eat breakfast. I love breakfast food, but I usually don't eat breakfast. So this was super cool.
He does not
cool.
eat before the show, people.
Yeah, so really enjoyed that. And then since we were up in Rice Lake, it's kind of a deal that we'd made. My sister and my mom and dad had come help us set up our swing set that Nora got way back Christmas that I just had no desire to put together, even though I wanted it for her. I'm just not good with those things. And so they came and helped us, and I said, hey, I'd love to come help you in return. Now, Rachel has a bit more complicated playset, but we did make some progress on it. I'm not somebody who looks at the directions and understands them, so I hold things while others screw them in, and I just tried to be a willing pair of hands. So, yeah, we got some progress made on that playset, and, yeah, then Sunday, church and potluck, and came back for my nephew's graduation party. Graduation. They're not that old yet, but they are getting tall. Their birthday party. So it was a triple birthday party yesterday for my nephews here in Eau Claire. So, yeah, busy weekend.
Serious celebrating. All right, the WIB Wake Up Show, Make Us Laugh Monday. People don't understand. This is one of the big pressure points of our whole week is you and me.
And we do it to ourselves on Mondays.
I know, right? It takes me back to school and getting my homework in. So here's the deal. I would be tempted to make an excuse why I don't have my three jokes ready. But lo and behold, I'm turning to a Reader's Digest. So what's your excuse for my three today? So the first of those, they're all excuses. Mickey in Washington says, working as an apartment manager, I've heard every excuse for why the rent is late. Husband got laid off, kids were sick, I lost the money order, or simply I forgot. But the most creative excuse of all was this. I only had half the rent, so I went up to the casino to try to double my money.
There you go.
Okay. Something tells me it didn't work out so well.
What did the horse say after it tripped?
What?
Help, I've fallen and I can't giddy up.
There you go. Hey, okay. Sandra in Florida says, my husband hasn't been to the gym in over a year. So one day, I asked him to come with me. Nah, he said I need to lose a few pounds before I go back. It's like you need to clean the house before the cleaning person comes, right?
Exactly. Well, I once had a cross-eyed teacher. Yeah, she couldn't control her pupils.
Uh-huh.
They're kind of weak this morning.
There you go. All right. One more, also from Florida, where apparently they're making a lot of excuses. Jim says that he recently invited neighbors over for dinner. And when they were about an hour late, he gave them a buzzed to see what time they might be expected. And the wife was nonplussed. She's like, oh, I thought that was last night. Which she would have missed.
There you go. And finally, here on a Make Us Laugh Monday on the WIB Wake Up Show. Hava, do you remember what kind of jokes the CDC recommended during the coronavirus outbreak?
What kind?
Inside jokes.
Aha, uh-huh, yes.
Inside
jokes. Yes, yes, for sure.
Make Us Laugh Monday. We know you can do better.
The WIB Wake Up Show, WWIB. And yeah, it's the primary season. Various states have been having theirs. Wisconsin up theirs, you know, used to be the second Tuesday of September, the primary for November. They've backed it up into August, when the good news is it gives Caleb maybe some of those candidates who are challenging incumbents, you know, a little bit more time. On the other end, it's August, so people kind of still in vacation mode, you know?
Yeah, indeed. This really caught our eye, though, mm-hmm. when it comes to how really, really tight races are decided, not in our state, but in Alabama.
That's right. They're in the heart of the South. Alabama's Republican Party has declared a tie in the primary race for a state Senate seat, and says the winner will be chosen by lot.
Very biblical.
Yeah, says even the lot, determined by the Lord. A state party news release says that the District 27 primary race between Auburn City Councilman Jay Hovey and incumbent Tom Watley was officially a tie. So the release did not provide details on when the winner would be selected or the method to be used.
But and the method is what really is intriguing.
Go ahead.
So Alabama's Secretary of State weighed in on this and said, when we say the candidate will be decided by lot, here's how it can be decided. Uh-huh. A roll of the dice. Yeah, that's probably what you would think. The high card from a stack of playing cards. Or they can play rock, paper, scissors.
Yeah, right. I think maybe rock, paper, scissors. But then again, you're going to have controversy, right?
They should televise this thing. And I hope it becomes law all across the great U.S. of A. And I hope tons of races are decided by rock, paper, scissors. I'd watch that on ESPN 18.
Flip of the coin apparently didn't make the list.
I guess not.
And roll of a dice. Now, back in the day, you would have thought 1 through 6. But people like those bigger dice these days,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, for some of the different games. I don't know. But I'm very intrigued by this. And I would love to see it at least on the internet somewhere, a video of how this works out.
We will stay tuned and see how it turns out.
What's the strategy? So what's your go-to rock, paper, scissors? We thought about trying to play this on the air quick,
yeah.
But I don't know how that works if people can't see it.
We can try.
All right, let's try it. So
we'll one, 2 out of 3, right?
So 1, 2, 3, shoot?
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, here we go.
Here we go.
1, 2, 3, shoot. Okay.
All right, you got me.
I got paper over rock.
All right.
So, all right, we'll do it again.
One, two, three, shoot.
All right, here we go. Rock over scissors. Last time.
One, two, three, shoot.
Rock and rock.
What are we going to do? Okay.
Tie.
Let's just leave it at a tie.
There we go.
The
WIB Wake Up Show, WWIB on a Monday. The real estate market, always interesting, all right? Always fascinating. Well, if buying a house is in your near future, you probably still haven't gotten used to all that fancy lingo that the sellers use to describe every feature of the house. So as a public service, here on the WIB Wake Up Show, we've got deciphering real estate ad code phrases for you.
Let's dive in. We're helping all of you home buyers. When the ad says country feel in the city, that means the previous owner kept a cow in the basement.
Oh, when the real estate ad says wide open floor plan, that really means the previous owner tore down all the walls.
There you go. When the ad says updated bath, that means the tub no longer overflows.
There you go.
Well, that's a plus.
Yeah, right. Hey, when the ad says updated kitchen, that means the sink no longer overflows.
There you go. Tips for home buyers. When the real estate ad says conveniently located, that means it's located on a freeway ramp.
Convenient. There you go. And finally, when the ad says security system, that means the neighbor has a dog.
There you go. Tips for home buyers. Hey, our big tip, we've got a great real estate agent like Dana Yoder that you can call if you are looking to wade through this real estate market.